plate a potential nugget.
And Rajiv, zooming out of the book and back to your journey as a coach over the last 15 plus years, one of the things I'm beginning to realize, I'm still early in my journey, it's 5 odd years, but I realize that, you know, if I sort of look at the situations where I feel I've made a difference, it's often more to do with the attitude of the coachee and, you know, what the person I'm working with, the mindset that he or she brings to the relationship. If you were to talk a little bit about some of the coachees that stood out for you, without getting into the specifics, obviously, but what have you seen about people deriving value from the relationship, and what about them stands out for you?
Yeah, I think firstly, the key to me of any, you know, healthy coaching relationship is, number one, is the commitment to the process. And by commitment, I don't even mean that they have to be super excited about the coaching journey, and they could be positively inclined, you know, even marginally, that's okay. But they're committed to giving it a real shot, and commitment not only in the physical time space, but also in the sense of, you know, mental bandwidth, because for us to embrace change is difficult for any of us. And for us to embrace change, we have to step out of our comfort zone. And that requires a little bit of, you know, mental, emotional energy. And we have to have that in that moment. If we are just doing it while we are running around, you know, it's like you don't want to be trying to change the tire of a running car. It's just way too hard. So they have to be willing to sort of slow down, create the time and space for this. So that's number one. The second thing I would say is the comfort with candid sharing. I mean, it goes without saying. Obviously, you know, as a coach, you can only work with people with what they bring to the table. And the conversation is only as rich as, you know, what's out there. So commitment and comfort with sharing are the crucial thing. I would say besides that, from a personality point of view, I've now had the privilege of working with people with very diverse, you know, personalities. Some more like me and some completely unlike me. And there was also sometimes comfort in working with people who are a little bit more like me. You know, it's kind of, you can relate to them faster, you know, empathy, et cetera, comes easily. But people who are completely different, but that's my own personal journey, right? To be able to understand, to stay in that non-judgmental space and explore. What is it that will help this person? Doesn't matter what their personality makeup, what will help this person move towards their goals, right? And sometimes sometimes I may have grown more as a person, as a coach, working with people who are very dissimilar to me, because it has forced me to get out of my own comfort zone and explore and search in my own mind of questions that are going to help move this person forward. So I think those are some of the things I would say that I've seen, you know, people who are very open, very comfortable with sharing, very committed. Those are the people who seem to benefit the most.
If there's one thing I've learned over the last few years, I feel that Houston, I have a problem, works better than Houston, he or she has a problem. I found that there have been several instances where the investor comes to me and says the entrepreneur needs a coach, or the company comes to me and says this leader needs a coach. Unless the leader is really willing to open up and work on some of the themes, I realize that there's not much value for me to add. I had the opportunity to speak to Marshall Goldsmith, a legend in the field of coaching, and here's what he said about client selection.
The client I coached that I spent the least amount of time with improved the most. The client I spent the most amount of time with didn't improve at all. So I made a chart on one dimension, time spent with Coach Marshall Goldsmith, and the other dimension was called improvement. There seemed to be a clear negative correlation between spending time with me and getting better. Well, I thought, well, this is kind of a humbling chart. I go talk to my client who I spent the least amount of time with, improved the most, Alan Mulally. Alan was CEO of the year in the United States, unbelievable, probably the best leader in the world in the last 20 years, at least corporate leader. So I said, Alan, of all the people I coached, you improved the most and spent the least amount of time with you. I showed Alan my chart. I said, Alan, the way this chart looks, if you never met me, you'd really been good. So I said, Alan, what should I learn about coaching from you? He said, Marshall, you got one challenge, customer selection. You pick the right customer, you always win. You pick the wrong customer, you're never going to win. He said, don't make coaching about yourself and your own ego and how smart you think you are. Make it about the great people you work with and how proud you are of them. And he said, the CEO of Ford, my job wasn't that different. I don't design cars or build cars, sell cars. I get to have great people. And every day I tell myself, leadership's not about me, it's about them.
I think this is a healthy reminder for all of us coaches out there. It's not about me, it's about them.